You are listening to the CMC Podcast. Join us each week for messages designed to equip, inspire, and motivate. And now for today's message from Student Pastor Josh Barnett.
My name is Josh. I am the youth pastor here. If I don't know you, haven't met you, I am glad that you're here with us today. Last week, I was stage hosting. I was actually leading into giving and offering, and I read this verse and just encouraging people to worship the Lord and focus on Him, and Pastor Tim said, well, that was so good. Why don't you just turn that into a whole sermon? So here we go. if you'll turn to Matthew chapter 11 with me, we're going to read these verses and get started. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. This is Jesus talking here. He says, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. We're going to talk about this verse today and just kind of what Jesus is talking about here, but there's a longing inside of every human heart. There is a fight. There's a struggle for significance, for a longing for success, a longing for things to feel right, for us to feel whole, for us to feel complete, for us to feel accomplished or successful, or that we have purpose, or whatever you want to put on it. In every human heart, there is that longing. And really what all those longings are, if you put them into one word, is what Jesus is talking about here. It's rest. We want to live a life of rest. We want to feel as though everything is okay. Everything is okay. And there's this thing inside of us. We all have this desire to be at rest. But what I want to tell you this morning is that rest isn't found in a Sunday afternoon nap. While those are great, I love Sunday afternoon naps. I will take more of those, please. Don't get many of them with little kids running around, but afternoon naps are great. But rest isn't found in 8 hours of sleep. It's not found in 2 weeks of vacation a year. You're not going to find it when the kids are finally out of the house, or when you get your degree, or when you get the paycheck or the promotion or the new house or the new car. You don't find rest when all of your goals are accomplished, because rest aren't found in any of those things. Rest is found in a person. Rest is found in Jesus. You could say that Jesus is rest. You could say that He is our rest, because He says, come to me, and I will give you rest. I will give you this thing that you long for. All of you that are weary, all of you that are heavy laden with burdens, and I will give that rest to you. In Isaiah 26:3, it says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. And rest lies in this coming to him. It's coming to him. It's the closeness, the relationship with Jesus that we actually find this satisfaction, that we actually find this rest. Rest, no matter what's going on in your internal world, your external world, whatever the circumstances are, that we can all find rest in Jesus by coming close to him. But what Isaiah says here, when your mind is stayed on him, when your mind is constantly on him. And Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 that we pray without ceasing, that we are in constant relationship with him. And when we are, we get this peace that passes all understanding, like David read from Philippians this morning. We get that peace. We can't have the peace that passes all understanding unless we marry ourselves to the Prince of Peace. We can't have the peace that passes all understanding unless we join ourselves, unless what Jesus said here, unless you yoke yourself to me, you can't have that peace. It's all found in Jesus. You know, it's funny, this weird thing that happens to us as Christians many times is we get caught up in a works consciousness. We get caught up in religious duty. And we know Ephesians 2:8, that I'm saved by grace through faith, that I didn't do anything to earn it, that salvation is a gift from God. And we know that, and we get saved, but then all of a sudden, it's weird. Religion kind of like seeps into our thoughts, and it's like this placebo of, I begin to do things for him, and so therefore I feel good about myself. Or I begin to do good works, and I begin to feel good about myself because I'm doing good things. And so we almost like, well, because I'm doing things for him, we almost distance ourselves in relationship from him. And instead of what Jesus wants us to do, is he wants us to do things with him, not for him. He wants us to do it with him, not for him. It's real easy for religion to come in. And if we let that happen, We feel inadequate in doing the things, and so we begin to do more things. Or we feel like, or we begin, we have to do these things better or more efficiently or whatever, when all it was always supposed to be just with Him. And when we do things without Him, we begin to break down. Anxiety comes in, stress comes in, fear comes in. And many times, what religion will do is it'll make us just this rat on a wheel where we are doing a whole lot of work, but we're not really going anywhere. And what Jesus, his first mandate for us is fellowship with Him. It's communion with Him. It's John 15, abide in me and I'll abide in you. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So it starts with the abiding. It starts with the closeness. In Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, there's a familiar passage there of Martha and Mary. And Martha was so caught up in the doing, she was missing Jesus altogether. And she gets mad at Martha. And she comes and says, Jesus, like, aren't you going to make my sister do some work for me? And Jesus says, Martha, Martha, Mary has chosen me. She's chosen the one thing and it won't be taken from her. You're caught up in all the details of everything, but she's chosen the one thing that actually matters. She's chosen the one thing that matters. And we've got to understand that God's presence always has to come before the production for Him. Presence always has to precede production. Because you can have production without presence. You can actually do things for Him without Him. But it'll run you ragged, it'll run you weary, it'll make you tired. It's a heavy yoke, something that you weren't meant to do on your own. But if you will be like Mary, if you'll have that spirit of Mary and you will sit at His feet and you'll go after that relationship, that abiding, that remaining, production will always come. You cannot sit with the Lord and not get His heart for the Lord. You cannot spend time in prayer in His presence, abiding with Him and not produce fruit. Jesus says, if you'll abide in me, you will produce fruit. And so it's a natural, really secondary consequence. If we'll just spend time with Him, we'll begin to do the things that He wants us to do, and we'll do it with Him at rest. Because many times, I love our theme this year is making disciples. Making disciples. And many times we can't get caught up in the making disciples without Him. It's easy to start doing things for Him without Him. And we were never meant to make disciples without first being with Him. And if we'll just have that spirit of Mary, if we'll be with Him, we will naturally make disciples. It will just be an overflow of our life. And people that we're around, or our kids, or our grandkids, or the young people that we're with, or our coworkers that we have, those that are with us that haven't been saved as long as we are, if we will spend time with Him before we're around those people, we will naturally make disciples. It will just come out of us. Because when we are filled with Him, He will overflow on those that are around us. It's easy, especially me being in ministry, but it's easy to get so caught up on making disciples or winning the lost to Jesus or all these things. And many times it becomes this heavy thing. It's like, wow, there are so many lost people and I don't feel like I can reach them all. And I feel like, oh, like that's heavy and I can't do that. And the Lord showed me, it's not your job to win the world to me. It's my job. You just be with me and then I will do it. John 16, Jesus said that He will send the Holy Spirit to convict the world of sin and righteousness and coming judgment. That it's actually the Holy Spirit that will work through me to win the world to Jesus. And so it's not on me, it's on Him. And that's what Jesus is saying. You yoke yourself to me, there's no pressure on you. All the pressure is on Him. It's our job to come to Him and take on His yoke. And then He will work through us as we stay yoked to Him. Now, He uses this terminology of a yoke. A yoke is a wooden cross piece that they would fasten animals together to work in the fields. And typically, oxen is what they would use. And what they would do in this time, and this is what Jesus is showing us here, they would take an older, stronger oxen and they would yoke it to a younger, weaker oxen. And so the older one did most of the work. Did most of the work while training the younger one to come along with Him. And that, man, that's just a picture of what Jesus is with us. It's just a picture of what Jesus is. And now, he trains us and He says that I'm gentle, I'm humble at heart, I'm going to help you, I want to train you how to do these things. But we're never meant to become unyoked from Him. And so we got to understand that it's not like one day when we get stronger, then we don't need Him anymore. No, we are always, Matthew 18:3, that we always stay as a child. we always come to him like a child. So he is always the older, stronger one. And we are always the younger one. So it's not like one day when you get strong enough, then you can do this without me. No, it's always stay yoked to me. Because in your weakness, my strength is perfected. In your weakness, my strength is perfected. And I mentioned this last week too, as I was reading this verse and praying about it, the Lord gave me this vision of working with my son Micah, who is 5, about to turn 6, and asking him, hey bud, come help me work in the yard. Come help me mow the yard. Come help me weed eat. Come help me move these rocks. Come help me do these things. And going out there, I'm doing most of the work. All of the work. It's actually with him being with me, it actually takes longer to do it. But I am overjoyed that he is with me. I am overjoyed that he is with me. And that is, man, that's how we come to the Lord. And he does it all. We are just with him. And he is overjoyed that we come and co-labor with him, is what Paul says in Corinthians, that we co-labor with him. Man, that, do you see that picture of us and the Father? That is just what it is right there. And I think about Micah sitting in my lap, and he said, Dad, can I drive? Can I drive? Can I drive? And I'll let him sit in my lap, and we'll drive around the parking lot. We'll drive around the parking lot. Now, we may not be going where he wants to go, and we may not be going as fast as he wants to go, but we're going together. Are you getting that? Come on. This makes me want to run around the room. I mean, when God was downloading these things into me, this made me want to run around my office and shout, because that is a picture of our Father. Come to me like the child. Come to me like the child and sit in my lap. Now, and I'll just give you an example. A couple years ago when Michael was 4, he was freshly 4, I set him in the seat of my truck. I used to have an old 95 Ford Ranger. And I set him in the seat of my truck. I walk around the porch to grab something, and I hear a crash. No keys in my ignition, truck's not started, nothing like that. But he had climbed over into the seat, and he actually was able to pull it down into gear. And I was freaking out, like, oh my gosh. I sprinted towards the truck, but he backed it backed into a tree. You see what happens when we try to do things without him? Do you see that? Yeah. That's what happens when we try to do things without our Father, is that we'll end up making a mess of all of it. We'll end up making a mess of all of it. And that's why he wants us to be with him. And this revelation many times is hard for us to get, because sometimes we just see God as this angry, wrathful judge instead of our good Father. That he's our good Father. Many times we see God as not the oxen next to us, but he's the angry taskmaster behind us with a whip trying to get us to work the field. But that's not him at all. He comes along beside us and does it with us. 1 Corinthians 3:9, we co-labor with him. He's not wanting to whip us. He's wanting to come and do the work for us. He's wanting to come and do it with us. And in John 14:9, Jesus tells Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's what he tells Philip. So Jesus is our picture of the Father. Before Jesus went to the cross, he spent 3 years ministry there of showing the heart of the Father to us. And so if we have seen Jesus, we see the heart of the Father. We see the way that he feels for us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his Son. For God so loved the world, he came and took our place. He came and took our place. He sent his Son. And so understanding that God's not mad or frustrated with us, but he actually came to do work for us and with us. We are called to be his image bearers in the culture, to build his kingdom in the cultures. We are what Corinthians 5 says, we are his ambassadors. We are his ambassadors. And in John 19:30, when Jesus says, it is finished, it is finished. That Greek word there for finished meant it is forever done. It is paid in full. I've won, and I always will have won. And so what we're doing as ambassadors is we're going unto all the world, letting the world know, hey, there's a new CEO in town. The devil's lost the keys. He's lost the authority. We're just here to let you know that there's a new chief in town. There's a new king. He's the king of all kings. He is here, and he is ruler of this earth. And we're just letting everybody know that. That is what we get to do. And when we begin to believe that about Jesus, that it really is finished, we find rest. We find rest. There's no pressure. There's no pressure on us. And as we abide in him, making disciples and winning the world and building the kingdom, all of that becomes an overflow. All of that becomes an overflow out of our lives. Romans 8:37 says that we are more than conquerors. You think about a conqueror, somebody that conquers land, and we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We are more than conquerors. The New Living Translation says that we have overwhelming victory. That it's not just a normal victory. It's not a, David was talking about Duke barely beat UNC by 1 point with apparently the best player in the world. But, you know, we'll see what happens. They meet up in the tournament. He's a freshman. They'll probably lose. I got to take shots at David too. But that wasn't an overwhelming victory because they only won by a point or two. An overwhelming victory is like you win 140-4. That's overwhelming. That's more than a conqueror. When I think of more than a conqueror, I think of Tiger Woods in that red Nike shirt when he used to walk out there back in the early 2000s, and you watch golfers who have been studs their entire life. They've never faced anybody that even would match up, come close to them, but when Tiger Woods walked out there, they would crumble. They would fall apart on the golf course. That's more than a conqueror right there. That I used to have a best friend that he lived around here. He coached one of the schools in Hot Springs. He was the best basketball player that I've ever played with. He was unreal. He was amazing. Like I was, me and him playing one-on-one is like me and Micah playing one-on-one right now. Like he just dominated everybody. And I used to play in a lot of church men's leagues, and his name was James. I always picked James. I always wanted James on my team. Why did I want James on my team? Because he was more than a conqueror when it came to playing basketball in Hot Springs. You had James on your team, and you won, no matter what. And the best thing that I liked about it is there was no pressure on me. There was no pressure. And he was so good, it didn't matter who the other team had. James could come out there with 4 or 5-year-olds, and he would whoop all of them. He was more than a conqueror, and that's why I always wanted James. He was so dominant. He was a guaranteed win. That's all it was, is a guaranteed win. That's what it's like with Jesus. He's actually, these examples pale in comparison because I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about the God of all creation. We have overwhelming victory. That really builds my faith to believe that anything is possible. That when I'm yoked to him, that anything is possible because he's way more powerful and he's way more wise than I can even imagine. Ooh. See, the gospel is not good advice. The gospel is not think happy thoughts. The gospel is good news. The gospel is really news that's too good to be true. Like, really? It's like too good. Really? It's too good to be true. I heard an example like this before, is that it's like the gospel, the way many people say, it's like a teacher standing up, giving a study guide to their students, giving them advice on how to take the test and different things and then they're going to get their best grade. But what the real gospel is that you come in and the teacher says, move over, I'm going to take the test for you. That's the real gospel. That is what Jesus does for us. He is our rest. You know, the most quoted Old Testament verse in the New Testament is Psalms 110:1, and it is, sit here while I make your enemies your footstool. Sit here while I make your enemies your footstool. And I've heard this said before, if the gospel could be summed up in one word, it would be come. It would be come. Come to me. My yoke is easy. My yoke is gentle. My yoke is kind. Jesus is saying, I'm the answer to everything. I'm the answer to everything. I'm the answer. And I want to end here just by reading a few Psalms. Psalms 23. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close behind me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Psalms 27 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. So why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger. So why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even when I am attacked, I will remain confident. The one thing I ask of the Lord, the one thing I seek most is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. For he will conceal me when trouble comes. He will hide me in his sanctuary. He will place me out of reach on a high rock. I will hold my head high above my enemies who surround me. And then I'm going to flip over to Psalms 91. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Do you see that? Those who come close, they find rest in his shadow. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I will trust in him. For he will rescue you from every chap. He will protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and your protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Don't dread the disease that stalks in the darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side and 10,000 are dying around me, these evils will not touch me. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. And he goes on and on and on there. That's it. Come to me. We come close to him and we find rest from anything. We find rest from anything. And there's no, it's not get yourself cleaned up and then come close. It's not deal with all your issues and then you can come. It's just come. There's no prereqs to Jesus. It's just come to me. You got sin, you got dysfunction, come to me. I'll take care of it. Are you being persecuted? Are you offended? Are you under attack? Just come to me and I will give you rest. Are you caught up in religion? Are you caught up in works? Are you stressed out? Are you anxious? Are you fearful? Come to me, yoke yourself to me, and I will give you rest. Amen. Will you stand with me this morning? Can we give God a hand clap this morning? Come on. He is good, and his mercy endures forever. Let's pray this morning. God, we thank you so much. We thank you. We praise you right now, Lord. We praise your name. We lift you up in this place. God, we thank you that you are our rest. We thank you that we find rest. We find rest from our weariness, from our struggle. We find rest from our hardships, from persecution. We find rest in you, that we can be at ease in you. God, that you've already won, you've already accomplished it all. Lord, teach us how to rest at your feet. Teach us how to rest at your feet, Lord. Lord, we repent right now for making it about works, God, when we get caught up in religious cycles, when we get caught up of trying to earn your love or working because we're fearful of you. But God, we rest in your finished work this morning. God, we honor you. Lord, be with us this week. Go before us. Lead and guide and direct us. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to the CMC Podcast. For more information about CMC, our different conferences, Christian school, college internship, resources, and more, go to cmchurch.com.